just wanna be okay, be okay, be okay. I just wanna be okay.
Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Sarah Wells.
Hello.
And Jane, we missed you last week, but you are back. Jane, how's it going?
I'm back. It's good to be back.
Yep.
Did you just bark?
I just said woo, like yeah.
Oh, woo. Was like a woo.
It was a W-O-O, not a W-O-O-F.
F, yeah. So, Sarah, why don't you tell us this week's music, because you're the one who picked it.
I did. I really enjoy a musician by the name of Ingrid Michaelson. She sings really happy, fun songs, and she writes all of her own music, and so I appreciate that. And
not all her songs are happy.
That, you know what, some of her songs are really sad, but they're disguised as happy.
Okay.
One of the songs that you'll hear today is, you'll think, oh, this is a happy, cheery song, but if you listen to the words,
she's
so
dark,
sad.
Dark, deep into her soul.
She's just brokenhearted.
Totally. Well, yeah. On today's episode, we are going to discuss Brad's sermon from basically yesterday and on Wednesday as well, called On Sacrificially Generous, and... oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the other one.
Intentional blessing.
Yeah, morally discerning. Good job, Jane. Sacrificially generous and intentional blessing. We will move into a segment with the news, and then from there we will talk to our producer, Andrew File, who just became a father.
Daddy-o.
That's
Andrew.
Right. And we'll talk to him about
Papa
being a father,
Drew.
But we will also chat with him about the primer that
primer.
Life groups are going through, as well as our one and whys, which was our favorite dream job and why. So, and then we'll close out the show with some announcements. I'm excited for this week's show, guys.
Me too.
So excited.
Enjoy some Ingrid Michaelson?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I can't think of her name. I'm really bad.
Ingrid Michaelson.
Enjoy some Ingrid Michaelson, and up next we will do our sermon discussion.
And in verse 14, he sees the multitude. Now, what would you do? Someone just died. You're trying to get a loan. You went to a secluded place and you see 20,000 people sitting on the shore. I tell you what I do. I say, I think I can paddle faster than they can walk. So I'm out of here. No, not Jesus. I want you to notice verse 14. He went ashore. He saw the crowds and he felt what? Compassion. There it is. That's the key to the whole thing.
That was a clip from Brad's message from this past Sunday on kind of continuing on in the series of being sacrificially, or continuing on in the series of being an anatomy of a disciple, kind of this spiritual formation process. And this is another ring in the ring of circles, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so sacrificially generous is dealing with the wills in our life, God's will for our life. Correct, Sarah? I'm not?
Yes, this is a sector.
A sector of it, yes.
Yes, and the sacrificially generous has to do with our wills, and then the
right.
outer ring is intentional blessing, and that has to
right.
do with our compassions.
Right, and so for this week and then two more weeks, we will be combining two of those in the anatomy of a disciple, because
yeah.
We really feel like instead of doing one message on just being sacrificially generous or relationally healthy or morally discerning, it's like, you know what? They really fit together. So
yeah.
Sacrificially generous kind of flows into your life, into being an intentional blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he combined the two together. And something that Brad mentioned a lot in his sermon, he talked about kind of our time, our talent, and our treasures. And that is a term, if you ever go to the Fig Garden campus, Dave Obwald says that every week. He says, let's be a blessing in our communities using our time, our talents, and our treasures. Let's, you know, and he also talks about, let's, you know, be a blessing wherever we work, play, and
live, work, and play.
And so I just love that language is really that oftentimes when we think of generosity in church or being sacrificial in church, we think of our finances, you know,
mm-hmm.
and really a big portion of the message was, no, it's time, talent, and treasure. And Brad kind of backs that up by using the Matthew 14 passage. So you guys heard the message?
Heard it.
And it was good, right?
So good.
Yeah, super good.
I really enjoyed this one.
I was expecting this one to be... well, I guess I just didn't know what he was going to do, but Brad had just given hey, you know, the well, here's the reason why we give or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Kind of a financial message. And I really didn't feel like this had, there was nothing in it that was like, you need to give or anything like that.
Oh, nothing, yeah.
Well, a little, not about giving to the church directly.
Right. And so you guys remember him in Matthew 14 mm-hmm. really talking about the loaves and the fishes, essentially. Mm-hmm. And
the PB&J and the juice box and the Twinkie.
Right.
he said it's the equivalent of a PB&J, a juice box, and Twinkie.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of
a modern day equivalent.
Oh, got it.
Imagine getting a lunchbox with just a piece of fish and bread in it. I don't know if I'd be thrilled on that
I'd probably give it back. But that's because
a Lunchable.
Oh, but Lunchables are great. I like tuna. Whatever. Continue.
Basically, something, kind of a point that Brad made, and maybe we can chat about it a little bit later, but Brad talked about this passage in Matthew 14, but what had happened before is that John the Baptist had died, mm-hmm. and Jesus had just found out about this, and you know, and then he goes into this basically crowd of people that are hungry, you know, and don't have food, and Jesus has to kind of snap out of his, I don't, he didn't say he was in a funk, but it's like he's mourning, John the Baptist.
And he's human, so he must have been like really grieved.
Totally. And something that, you know, he kind of pulled out of it, and something I just really stuck out to me was, Jesus has compassion, and he also uses his time, his talent, and his treasure. He's sacrificially generous. He's a blessing to these people, even when it's not convenient to him, mm-hmm. you know? Right. And that is something that, for me, just continually pulls me down as seeing this sacrificially generous side and just going, yeah, but it's you know, well, it's when my wife and I have enough money, or, oh, when I have enough time to do this, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm not really good at that. Like, when it ever comes to building projects at the well, like back in service, like, hey, lend your construction hand. I'm like, hey, I'll provide the lunch. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know what? Maybe it's not convenient to you, but that's not what it's about. It's about, you know, you, Jesus in this moment showing compassion, but mm-hmm. also giving your time, talent, your treasure. Mm-hmm. So
I think what I was thinking about during this message was like, I see it's like two camps of people, where there's the people who don't give much. They are home a lot. They don't want to like give their time, talent, or treasure. But then right. there's this other side of people who like give so much of themselves. And there has to be a balance. Like, you have to create margin so you do have time for yourself to recharge. And so you're not just give. But I never know what the balance is. Mm-hmm. Like, when is it okay for us to say, no, I can't meet with you for coffee this week, or no, I can't do blah, 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 because I just can't do that for myself. But where, like, it must just be a completely Holy Spirit driven thing, like mm-hmm. where you just assess each situation, because I never know, like, do I need just to sacrifice myself and do this, or do I need to go be home and recharge? Like,
right. No,
where's
absolutely.
The balance? And I don't, maybe you guys
well,
know
in Scripture,
it.
You know, it's like hard to sometimes read Scripture, and you see this early church, and Brad kind of even touched on it. I mean, they show kind of this, I mean, they show this generosity that it's almost like, I could never do that. I could never give up everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that Brad made the point is, you know, we really need to balance that out and figure out what's going to work, but not just say, I'm not doing it at all. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or not give your best in all situations. And so we see this picture of an early church giving up everything that they have, like, literally everything, and we're always like, oh, I don't know if I could do that, like, how am I supposed to live my life? And it's like, no, the point is, like, can you get to that point, you know?
Well,
what I mean?
And he kind of gives an example of like you taking your time, talents, and treasures and keeping them with an open hand,
right?
And when you keep them with an open hand, then you have the opportunity for God to bless that even more than if you keep it with a closed hand,
right.
So as much as I agree with making time for yourself, because that's something that's super important for me too, mm-hmm. We do need to set boundaries, but God will continue to reward us and give us that energy and stamina and bless us in the way that we're gifted so that we can continue blessing others.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the service, they did a communion, and, maybe this is, you know, a longer topic and we could talk about this for a long time. At least at the North Campus, they did communion.
Yeah, no, they did that in Clovis. All campuses did.
Okay. Yeah. And anytime we take communion at church, for me, it's just this time where, you know, and I think it kind of ties in with the message given, but it's just this time for me to really reflect on what Christ has done for me. And I just did a wedding recently where they took communion in it. And the reason why they wanted to take communion was because they don't want to remember this as the day that they got married or whatever. They kind of wanted to remember this as just another day that they're remembering Christ and what Christ did for mm-hmm. them. And they kind of said under their breath during that time that you could just kind of hear them, and they said, "I'll never forget. Like, I'll never forget what Christ did mm-hmm. for us." And just kind of this small wedding where it's two people taking communion to a large church service of, you know, thousands of people taking communion. It's just so cool to watch people remembering what Christ has done and kind of this ultimate blessing to us as Christ. You know what I mean? Yeah, and so I don't know what your guys' take on communion is, but anytime it happens, and sometimes I just sit back and watch and I'm just like, all these people are remembering like what Christ has done. And that's mm-hmm. such a cool thought. So
yes, ditto. I mean, I think it's so cool to know everyone in this room for the most part is thinking about Christ on the cross right now. And
right,
it is
right.
such a cool thing. And there's churches, like, we're not the only church doing it on Sunday. It's churches all across the country at this very moment is remembering what Christ did.
Yeah. And I went to a church that did communion every week. And mm-hmm. although I really enjoyed that, I feel like the increment of time that the well kind of lets go by before where there's another communion mm-hmm. is great, because I just feel like we don't take it for granted, and we really do reflect back on Christ. And the mm-hmm. times that there is communion, it's the best worship times for me.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not thinking about the message at that point anymore. I'm just reflecting on Christ, and I'll think about the message another day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
I would kind of push back on that and say that's something we should remember every single day. We should always remember the gospel.
Not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get as, I like that we don't do communion all the time. The sacrament of communion, not okay. the remembrance of Christ. Does that make sense to you?
Why wouldn't you want to do it every Sunday? Do you think it would become just like mundane?
Yeah, and that's what it became at the church before. It was just like, well, this is what you do, you know? And I like it where there's some weeks where I'm just not feeling it and I won't get up and take communion. I like to feel the freedom to take communion when I want to, when I'm in that process with Christ mm-hmm. or whatever. And just every week it just felt like, if I don't stand up, something's going to happen, where I just feel the freedom to, I'm at a good spot usually.
Well, because even like in 1 Corinthians or whenever it talks about communion, right before they go through communion, he says, like, check your heart,
yeah.
you know, evaluate your heart. And like at the church I grew up at, a pastor would always say, like, take a moment right now and just search your heart and have the Lord like reveal things to you that you need to confess, or if you need to, you know, go make things right with your brother, go do that, you know. And it was such a cool like check-in point, like, how am I doing? You mm-hmm. know, it's because it's rare that we sit and like, Lord, show me where am I at right now.
And I totally agree with that. Yeah. So I don't know, as you're listening to this, maybe just think of you know, times when you take communion, and just like what a blessing it is that we get to partake in that and just always remember Christ. And I love mm-hmm. when we do that. And yes, Jane, I think we should remember Christ every day.
Absolutely.
If I didn't communicate that, I'm going to hell.
Preach the gospel to yourself every day.
That's yeah. right. Well, I think that's a good spot to close. Up next, we're going to have some news, and then we will kind of
interview.
We'll do some news, and then we'll flow into an interview with Andrew File as well. So stay tuned for some more music by Ingrid Jacobson.
Michaelson.
All right.
Davidson, Johnson, Christensen, whatever.
That's
all I can do is keep.
Now the news with the Spoutcast crew.
All right, we are back, and Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thank
Why
you.
The laughter?
Yeah, Sarah wants bacon. Like, she literally just like, he's like, okay, go ahead, record. And she's like, I want some bacon.
I'll eat some bacon.
Well, awesome. Kevin, I've brought some news today, and
complete non-acknowledgement of the Sarah of the wanting of the bacon.
What am
this
I supposed to say?
This is a collaboration of everything that's happened in between segments.
All right.
Christian doesn't know I am alive today.
Let's start over.
No, let's just keep going.
We're cool. What does your news say there on that piece of paper?
I'm in a great mood, by
the way.
All right.
How many of you guys are familiar with Panera?
Oh, yeah. I love Panera.
Everybody like Panera?
Everybody
well,
loves
Well, for a while in Portland, Oregon, did you guys know that Panera basically did this thing where you pay what you can for food?
Shut up.
Yeah. And people in Portland, Oregon, the Panera was trying it out. Basically, the founder of it was trying it out. And so, but it turns out it doesn't really work because.
They're right. I can pay a penny for my.
They found
whole
that most people, like who are, you know, who had a house or who lived in an apartment or just, you know, made an income would pay a pretty decent wage for the Panera. In fact, some people would even pay more than they, because they didn't really know the prices. They didn't put the prices next to the food.
Nope.
Oh.
So they just pay whatever.
It's like a swap meet at a restaurant.
Essentially, yes.
Give you $2 for that pita bread right there. Give you $2.
And this bracelet.
That's right, yeah.
I don't know how it all went down. I wonder if there's just a jar in front or...
How much you want for that apron? That cinder block I parked it for my car in front of. Give you $3 for that. And I'll give you a quarter for the door.
Well, see, I think you were the person that made it not work because they said that they had a hard time with the people from the nearby homeless shelter not paying for any of the food.
Yeah.
And
need to eat.
Right. And they need to eat. And part of the thing was that the money that other people put
I'm
in.
Sorry, Harmonizer. Right.
Jane
100%.
Is like, they need to eat.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to feed homeless people.
No.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why they did this was for that reason. But the people that were like the average Joes, like Kevin Tinkin, mm-hmm. he would come and he would not pay above the price that he should be paying. So it wouldn't work for both
Were they
parties.
Just banking on people paying too much? And
yes,
hoping that
think,
would.
I think so.
Okay.
And let's just say it didn't work. All right, guys.
All right, didn't work.
So I'm bummed because if it had worked, that would have been great out here in Fresno.
Yeah.
Jane, wow. Was that some sort of term against bums, Jane?
What she's red. I love embarrassed Jane. It's my favorite.
I completely missed it.
She said, you're bummed, and then she looked at me.
You're bummed.
Like bums.
It's done for homeless people. I love homeless people. So
yeah.
Don't.
Jane's an intentional blessing.
She is.
I love people.
Ding.
Oh, she just put a halo above her head. You can't see that.
All right, Kevin. Now I got a great story for it. This is specifically for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Yeah. I wish that people could see the image that was on here.
Can
but,
we see it?
You guys can see the image, but in Washington, D.C., Kevin, a woman was injured by an exploding toilet.
Of course.
And,
you put an M80 in that thing?
Honestly, there's no real details as far as the exact reasons why this happened. Yeah. But a toilet exploded and injured a woman at the General Services Administration Building in D.C. Fire and EMS department confirm a woman went to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Toilet just exploded, basically.
A piece of flying porcelain could kill somebody.
Yeah.
Especially if you're sitting on it.
Or if it's on fire. The toilet itself did not blow up.
All right. Well, that's just what you said.
If you saw the image, a massive amount of water came exploding and erupting
It was a bidet.
It was due to a mechanical error. There was a lot of air pressure within the water, and it just came right up. And if you saw the picture, literally there is water with a cloud above it, and then fire in the water.
Fire?
Can you put that picture up on the website?
I might be able to put the picture on the website.
Okay, wait a second. It's a cartoon picture.
It's still.
I was expecting like a real picture of a toilet with
rendition
water and fire.
Of the toilet water blowing up.
Oh my
There's
gosh.
Also fire
okay,
in the water.
So
that happened in the Goonies.
The bidet went wrong.
I guess so, but I don't know if they have bidets in D.C., so.
Well, if we have them in Fresno, I'm pretty sure they have them in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, she probably felt pretty clean after that. I mean, I don't know.
No, like, need for a colon cleanse.
Yeah, seriously. It's just
you
like,
just said colon.
Jane.
I just cracked my own self up.
Have you ever seen like...
I do that.
There's things, there's clips on YouTube where basically they put like this like basically high pressured air cannon inside of like a chair, and they sit down on a chair and it literally shoots them up like 10 feet in the air.
That would be
I just imagine like this happening, like almost like from a straight up cartoon where a woman is like floating 10 feet above the toilet seat.
I got the same picture. It's pretty good.
So this has never happened
to
you.
Let's all close our eyes and imagine it. Ready, go.
I've blown up toilets before, but in a completely different way.
I've actually blown a toilet up as well. Yeah, so
it's you straight blew it up in there. It happens. People say straight blew it up too.
Totally.
When to do it.
Did you light a match?
Several.
A candle?
Yes.
Have you ever been to the Madonna Inn bathroom in San Luis Obispo?
No.
Never. Nobody.
I've driven past
the Madonna Inn's not in San Francisco.
What did I say? I said San Luis Obispo, didn't
no,
I?
No, you said San Francisco.
Oh. No, he said San Luis.
No, Kevin, he said San Francisco.
The heart hears what it wants to hear.
So, anyways, in San Luis Obispo, they have like the most amazing bathrooms in the world. And I mean, if you haven't gotten a chance to go to the bathroom there, do it. It's great.
It's on my bucket list.
Oh.
All right. Bucket? Well, last news story. First of all, Kevin, did you give blood today?
I did not give blood today. I got I had to get some blood work done for my gout.
Ah.
So
how's that been, Kevin? The fan base wants to know, how's the gout?
It's manageable, but it's miserable. I found out that I had gout because I went to the doctor. I'm like, hey, doc. Both of my feet are broken. And he's like, that's kind of weird. I'm like, yeah, I must be like sleepwalking and just kicking walls in the middle of the night because they're broken. He's like, that just seems kind of unlikely that both your feet would be broken in the middle of the night. I'm like, nope, it happened. Then he did some blood work and my uric acid levels were through the roof.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So if you could have any job in the world, would it be to be gout doctor?
We're not necessarily to that segment. We'll get your favorite job and why at the very end.
Yeah. And by the way, if you do Google images of gout, like that's not what my feet look like. It's that's like in the, you know, it's
worst
like
stages.
If you never treat it and it just gets horrible.
Like, do they balloon up?
Yeah, well, the uric acid gets in the joints, and if you don't treat it, it just gets more and more and more and more in the joints until it actually comes out of the joints, and it's
now, Kevin,
hideous.
I wanted to kind of tell you something. You know how you were on the last week's episode, and it was all Kevin Tinkin all the time.
Yeah, I remember.
Did you know that was our highest listened to episode?
Get out of here.
How do we know that? Just
kidding.
Why? That was so much false joy. I was so excited. It was our least listened to episode.
Oh my gosh, right. Kevin.
We bought you a car. No, we didn't.
We actually are going to pay for somebody else's car.
We actually are having yours.
I don't know
right
if you're hearing the noises that Jane is making, but she is looking up pictures of gout.
Yeah, don't look up pictures of gout.
We do not condone looking up images of gout online.
Like, gout this? Never mind.
You can't let it go, but people let it go. Yeah, don't keep looking at the image. They're bad.
If you're looking up pictures right now and you're listening, please stop. Stop. Yeah,
sorry if you just heard me dry.
No, I'll tell you this. The way those pictures look is how bad it does hurt.
Okay.
It
is.
But
it doesn't
like
look
it
like that.
No.
Because you look pretty normal to me.
I do. I don't have anything visible.
You're also very dressed up today, Kevin.
Yeah,
you just come from work.
Sharp,
you usually wear your work shirts. So.
I know. I came from work today.
Well, nice. Well, hey, Kevin, thanks for dropping by for some news. And up next, we've got what?
What and what?
We will get to that at the end of the show.
We haven't done it yet.
Yeah. So, up next, we've got our interview with Andrew Feil. So stay tuned for that. And we will close out the show with some announcements after that.
Let's get rich and buy our parents' homes in the south of France. Let's get rich and give everybody nice sweaters and teach them how to dance. Let's get rich and build a house on a mountain, making everybody look like ants. From way up there, you and I, you and I. Let's get rich and buy our parents' homes in the south of France. Let's get rich.
body nice sweaters and teach them how to dance. Let's get rich and build a house on a mountain, making everybody look like ants. From way up there, you and I, you and I.
All right, we are back with new father Andrew File. And
new father.
Well, he hasn't been a father ever before, so
I got a week and a half under my belt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So,
Pops.
Andrew, in case Pops. You know, we've got some new listeners, we just want to make sure everyone knows you are our executive producer. Actually, you're technically our producer. Karen's our executive producer. Producer means
did I just get demoted?
No. Well, see, right the thing here. Is that a producer has their hand like in the steak. You know what I mean? As executive producer, doesn't
What's
really do
mean?
Anything.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
like Steven executive. Spielberg was attached to a lot of project, but that doesn't mean he does anything.
Okay. What's it mean to have your hand in the steak?
I don't know if that analogy worked out.
I don't think that was the correct phrase.
Hand in the pot.
Hand in the pot.
Hand in the
cookie
jar.
God,
at the cutting board.
High.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Well, Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Thank
How's
you.
Being a father?
It's good. It's been a little bit of, you know, running low on sleep. But, you know, to hold my son is Levi James is his name.
That is such a great name.
He's a cute boy. So to hold him in my arms is a good thing.
Hey,
so
why didn't you bring him? I could have held him in my arms on the Spoutcast.
And then we could have just... Well, I hear
LJ.
You guys just lock kids in the back in the
well,
sound
booth.
Well,
we usually
booth,
do
so,
that when kids cry.
So if he started crying, I could just throw
here.
Him in there.
Well,
so,
proof. You'll never know he's
Megan's
there.
Here. She's the one who locks him in
See,
there.
See, the thing is that I held your baby once, and he just cried the whole time. So I'm convinced I'm just not good with kids.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yeah. Just don't let me touch your kid
Because
again.
The newborn cried in your arms. You must be horrible with kids.
Something. Then Andrew took him, and it was fine.
Yeah.
No big deal.
You're not dad. No.
That's right. Well, in case you guys also didn't know, Andrew is our spiritual formation director for the Fig Garden campus. And we just wanted to kind of bring you in here. And if you've been involved in a life group now for the past 4 weeks, you would have been going through what is called the primer. And we wanted to have just a little bit more clarity on the heart behind the primer. Why are we doing this for all life groups? Why are we kind of breaking up what life groups used to be and saying, look, this is what you're going through and why is the primer important? I know that's 7 questions, but why don't you start with number 1?
Well, and Sarah's on the team too, so
right.
if I miss something, fill it in here. But
I'll
I think as we reorg the well, you guys heard about it at State of the Church, as we reorg the well, we realized, because you know, we took these different things of community, equipping, and mission and really put them together as spiritual formation. So right. we did that. I was missions director. And so as we did that, we realized we should probably... as we're really thinking through what do we want to our community and our life groups to look like, we should probably recast that vision mm-hmm. with like the anatomy of a disciple stuff and with just kind of some new expectations for our life group leaders. As the well is growing, we really realize like life groups are our way to do community.
Right.
Like the big has to become small for people.
And when you have such a large church like the well, you almost lose contact of what exactly is going on in every life group.
Yeah. And so we're like, man, mm-hmm. we should restart and recast the vision of life groups. So
right.
That is what the primer is. It's an 8-week journey for a life group going, what does the well see as community? So there's an intro week. There's 2 weeks on community, 2 weeks on spiritual formation. So you talk about the anatomy of disciple stuff, and then 2 weeks on being sent, living on mission. And then there's kind of some exit week stuff. So really fun kind of reset to, man, what does it mean? And then right now, yeah, like you said, every group at the well is going through it.
Now, let's say I'm a new member of the well here in 12 weeks. I start coming over Christmas and I want to get involved in a life group. Do I get a start in a group at the primer? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's two options, really. One is you could hop into an existing life group. So that life group would have already gone through the primer.
Right.
So if you wanted to go through it, you could just get one and then go through it on your own. But we're also launching new groups with new people and
mm-hmm.
that will go through the primer. So now any group we start at the well will start with a primer. And I
right.
think that's just a great, I mean, you know, as we've talked with all our leaders, they're just like, yeah, I'd love to know what's expected and have a clear vision for what does God see community? How does the well see community? What is the well going to expect from its
right.
groups? And so now any group that starts new, any people that start new, they kind of get to start fresh, new vision and go, okay, this is what it means. And this
right.
is how we're going to do it at the well.
I don't know if you've ever been a part of a life group where there's really no like structure, but I just remember sitting in life groups on that first night and you're like, what? I don't know what we're going to do. You know yeah. what I mean? It's kind of this awkward first 1 or 2 weeks, but eventually, you know, you get things going and it picks up speed. But for the primer, really just like, this is a clear direction is how we see life groups in the well go. And I love that heart behind that as well. Now, something that, is maybe confusing, but it was confusing to me. Maybe some explanation on why it's called the primer, because I know people have asked me in the past, and this, you know, a lot of people listen to Spoutcast, so I just, you know, yeah. want to make sure they're
this is going to answer the clarity.
Some yeah. people will call it the primer, and we want to make it known it's the primer.
It's the primer. Yeah. So,
but
kinda...
if you push the talk button on dictionary.com, it says primer.
But what does primer actually mean?
It means what the definition of primer is. Just
let's just let Andrew answer this question.
Well, the thing is, we kind of took it from another primer that was, you know, just an idea that started for us. But the main idea is it is like you prime the pump. If you're going to start something, you know, if you're going to start paint on your walls, what do you put down? Put down the primer, you know, so it's the start to get stuff going. So that's gotcha. Why we chose the name. We want, you know, we threw out, you know, so many names and right. that's kind of what lasted.
Oh, the clay pot one. What was that one called?
Yeah,
the mason jar.
No,
it was like body of clay.
The body of clay.
And that's the idea that we're all being shaped and, you know, so there are some creative totally. Ones and we're like, meh.
No, I think primer is great. I just yeah. think it needs a little bit more clarity because, you know, if you're not used to painting or whatnot, you probably don't know what primer is. Yeah. I'm just saying a lot yeah. of people don't paint,
yeah.
right?
Well,
I feel like there's other definitions for the word that don't have to do with paint. You prime
right.
something.
Right. But, that's yeah. probably the most recognizable.
Priming the pump, you anytime, okay, yeah, yeah. yeah, you know, anytime if you
prime the lawnmower,
yeah,
you prime the
yeah.
lawnmower.
Christian wouldn't know though, he has a
I have an
electrical.
It's not like the all, you know. So with this primer, I know there's a couple things, kind of if you're going through one or you haven't gone through one and you're like, huh, I'm kind of interested in that. What are some things that, you're doing in the primer besides like, this is a clear direction of group. I know that each thing is broken down by God story, reflection, you know, living, yeah. things like that. So maybe some highlights of the primer that people could look forward to.
Well, and I think it's even a pattern we're switching to. You guys saw it with Serve Day where we made it something that, instead of saying, this is what we're all going to do, it's going, man, what could you do? I mean, I think that's going to be a continual trend for spiritual right. formation. So even as you go through the primer, there's these experiences that are trying to fast track community or really trying to push you. So like in week three, everybody in the group shares their story. So right. man, how has God got you to the place? And that's something that normally a group probably wouldn't do, but that really builds community when you know somebody's story. So there's stuff like that. You take the spiritual growth assessment that really assesses you as the anatomy of a disciple. How you doing? Mm-hmm. And
we'll be taking that this week, actually.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that is an exercise. You're going to share that. So these really, that's in community, spiritual formation, and then in mission. There's some assignments to go, you know, connect with a neighbor and just really things that would push you out of your comfort zone. And so I think a fun thing I've seen out of it is it's like this, you learn a concept and then you practice it, you live right. it. And so I think there's a lot of growth that happens instead of just talking about it every week. You get to, you know, see.
For instance, on for the anatomy of the disciple, we're talking about being culturally engaged, and we haven't gotten to that one yet as far as the sermon wise. But I know that in the primer, kind of the living aspect of it is to maybe go to a grocery store that you've never been to before. And just kind of there's little things at the end of each week of the primer where it's like, look, here's how you can live what you've learned this week. You know what I mean? Yeah. And here's how you can stretch yourself this week, which I love about the primer.
Yeah. I like that it's more than just theory and it goes into actually like, what can we do with our hands and how can we actually apply it? So it's not just, let's talk about it. Oh, that's great. I'm gonna apply that to my life and then completely forget about it. You know, it's actually, what are we going to do?
Yeah, and I think, and even, you know, we're started working on what happens after the primer, and I think that's a pattern we want to continue to take is how do we stretch our groups and stretch us as a church to do outside of the just talking about it. Just every week we're going to study the Bible. Every week we're going to study the Bible. So, like, say we're going into Corinthians next.
Right.
We're only developing, out of 15 weeks of Corinthians, we're only developing 10 weeks of content.
Right.
And so there's 5 weeks that you got to figure out, man, what are we going to do as a group?
Right.
Is it going to be something missional, something community, you know?
And this this primer is what the framework for that is and will allow groups to get to a spot where they can think creatively to do things like that. Yeah. Now, Andrew and I are friends and we...
I know.
We are friends outside of the show. He's not just our boss, really, as a producer. But, you know, something that kind of maybe over the last 6 months, Andrew's been on quite a journey as far as job-wise and started out as our missions director, moved into our Clovis campus spiritual formation.
Yeah, I got to take point. You know, I think, was it Jared that was on? And he totally, you know, didn't give me the cred.
I know, he didn't give you the street cred.
I was like, oh, Jared, I was there with you 6 weeks. We had a good 6 weeks together.
I know, so Andrew went from missions director to Clovis spiritual formations director for 6 weeks, man. Yeah. And best six weeks
of my life.
I've seen.
Clovis is the best.
Yeah. And then from there, you moved into your FIG campus spiritual formation director, which I know for you, as far as the well goes, was a bit of a dream job for you. And so I thought it would be fun, or Sarah thought it would be fun.
Thank you.
To do what's our kind of dream job that we'd love to have. Now, obviously, you don't have to say spiritual formation director at the FIG Garden campus, but
it is Brad. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't think he listens.
No, he does. He does.
Somebody, this will get to him somehow.
Yeah, it'll get around to him. So maybe we'll start with you, Jane, with your favorite.
You're going to start with
your
me?
One dream job you'd love to have and why. So why don't you hit us with your dream job?
Okay. Dream job. Have you guys ever seen that show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Oh, yeah.
I have, yes.
Yeah. Love that show. I love it. So mine would be a combination of being Guy Fieri and also
you do already have the white hair. So the blonde.
It's white.
It's the blonde.
Like, oh, well, I guess his is blonde.
His is
yeah.
blonde.
You wouldn't be him. You would be his job.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be him.
Right.
Okay. But I would drive his car.
Okay.
Dream car. Dream car. So I would want to do that. And I would also like to have my own, I think we've even talked about this on the show before, my own hole in the wall, mom and pop bakery slash deli slash coffee shop, where everybody frequents. And it's like a little community and family inside there because we all know each other. Hey, Christian, can I get you the huge?
Totally.
You don't know, but I'm pointing and winking and giving him the gun.
Sarah. What would be your dream job and why?
My dream job, it doesn't really exist. I'm kind of making it up in my head.
That's fine. It's a dream.
It's a dream, right? Mm-hmm. I would love to be, I really like college life, like college students and college ministry. So I would love to work in a dorm of college for college students. But the school is for musical theater. So I could fulfill my musical theater side because I would love, I was going to say be a Broadway star because really that would be awesome. But there's a need for people in like ministry that I really would like to fulfill also. So if I could put together ministry and being on Broadway, that would be my dream job.
So you should be an RA, RD at a very artsy college.
Yes.
Yes, and if they would let me do shows, then yes.
On Broadway.
Yeah, you're like 60 and you're still in the shows.
The only way that I'll do this is if I can be the star in every show.
Only
it's a dream job. It's a dream job.
Yeah,
it's a
dream job. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Andrew, what would be your dream job and why?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is I love studying. So I love that if I could just study something and write papers maybe every, you know, I get to read every, you know, 10 hours a week. I'd love to do photography, but not have to edit my photos.
Okay.
So that I really like taking pictures.
Right.
But I don't take pictures because then I got to edit them.
Right.
So it would probably be a photographer and probably help with a nonprofit or something. Just kind of throw all those together. I don't know if that makes any sense. But
you could take photos for a blog that you study to put information on the blog, but you don't have to edit the photos.
Ooh,
somebody else
does.
Yeah. And the blog is a nonprofit.
And the so mom's like,
I'm just saying.
Just raising money for my blog.
You're actually thinking of like how to make these reality.
These dream jobs. Mine, I feel like, is the most far-fetched out of everybody in here. But
you want to be a flying
movie critic.
No. For a long time, I wanted to be a movie critic, but I realized I'm horrible at writing and I hate writing, so we wouldn't do well.
What if you
could dictate to somebody.
Yeah, dictate. Well, he doesn't edit his photos. You don't write.
Right.
What
about
mystery?
But I would just like
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, I wish that there was some sort of job that you just sat around and watch movies all day. But then Andrew would get on my case and go, "You need to get up and do something." And so, no, really, my dream job would be honestly like, and it's horrible because every person who does this job is like, they're just depressed and hate themselves. But I still to this day would love to be a stand-up comedian. And I really think I'd do well at it. I think I wouldn't do good at like improv type stuff, but I would do really well at like constructing a joke, writing it out, and like delivering it with like style. So
you should try doing improv.
I honestly have, and I'm awful at it. Like, well, ask anybody who's seen me do it, and it's horrible.
When I started improv, and there's a lot more rules to it, so it made a lot more sense in my brain to it, because there's like actual rules on how to do it.
Sorry. Are you just like Fallon? You just start laughing at every.
I do everything.
I can totally see that
through it, and that's. We do this game on one of our mission trips for the high school and junior high, where basically people are doing improv and you go stop, and then you insert yourself into the scene, and like literally got up there and I froze and I just was like, I'm just going to laugh because I don't know what to do. And like that, I did it like 5 times and I'm like, nah, I'm not doing improv. But I really think I could construct a joke and it would come out well. So that was my dream job. You guys want to read some emails as
we
progress? I got an email this week from Callan. Is that her name?
Callan Sturgis.
This was her first week listening to she said Spout podcast. She obviously doesn't know. It's called the Spout.
Hey, give welcome, her a chance. Though.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome to the fam, Callan.
After being with friends with Sarah for years and years, my expectations were way up there. And let me say, I was blown away. You guys are so fun to listen into. I am an original from the infamous and well-known Chick Farm, as we discussed last week.
Yep, we lived together. She lived in the attic that didn't have any insulation, so it was 130 degrees in her room.
Anybody watch Modern Family? That just happened on
really?
Talk about week.
Luke wants to live up in the attic.
That's what she lived in the attic. Yeah. Okay.
Her dream job is to be a high school junior high teacher mentor. I'm going to be a biology teacher, but it really wouldn't matter the topic. I would love to hang out and live life with the kids, and with an unlimited amount of resources that hang out time would include traveling to far off lands, probably some pretty cool mission trips, and most definitely some hot air balloon rides.
Hot air balloons?
Really? She said random, wow, maybe Callan. Epic, completely. World history taught in the ruins of Rome, biology in the rainforest, English in England. What a dream. Thanks
would
for sharing who you
Callan,
are.
Callan, would you take your hot air balloon to Rome?
She probably would.
She I can probably answer on her would. Behalf. There's a movie about that called 80 Days Around the World, or 80 Days. So Jackie Chan stars in it.
Or is it called The Wizard of Oz?
No, Jackie Chan stars in it, and Arnold Schwarzenegger as well. So
Jackie Chan and Arnold.
That's a good combo, I guess.
The last
movie, good English movie, huh?
Last movie Arnold was in before he became governor. Go for it.
My turn?
Yep.
All right. My email is from the ever so beautiful Sarah Roby. She says, hello, lovely Spoutcast crew. I know, it's been a while since I've written, but have no fear. I'm still a faithful fan holding it down in good old Santa Cruz, spreading the love of the Spout wherever I go. Smiley face.
Thanks, Sarahs.
Is that true? Has she really got anybody to listen?
Yeah. She tells her roommates. She listens to it in her house and makes her roommates listen.
Okay.
I say it didn't happen.
All right.
Are they friends on
I
Facebook?
I kind of want to, a week on the website, put Sarah Roby's name as like the super fan on the website.
Super fan.
See what she does.
Oh, my
all
gosh.
All right, go for it.
First, I would like to say this week's 1NY is maybe my favorite one yet.
Good job, Sarah.
You Thanks. Must know this girl pretty well. Next, if I could have any job, no question, hands down, candy taste tester. I would like to travel all over the world to different candy factories wearing a really cool protective suit and taste testing all the candy.
I don't know why she needs a protective suit. Just in case it bursts into
She's
flames
watched too
at
much
the
Willy
factory.
Wonka.
True.
Okay, she keeps on going saying, I would like all the candy worker people to know me by name.
Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, their faces are orange. And as I walk into their factories, they would present me with all the new candy trends. However, the only way this job would work best would be if I had awesome dental coverage. There is no one in this world who understands this love of mine quite like Miss Sarah Wells. Sarah and I love eating candy together. And a few weekends ago, when I was visiting Fresno, Sarah greeted me at her home with, yep, you guessed it, candy. What a good friend. Keep up the great work, crew. I want a t-shirt more than anything, more than candy. Sincerely,
you just might get
Sarah
that t-shirt. Sarah, we'll see what happens here in a second.
All right, ready for mine?
You got the last email.
All right. I can't believe I forgot to email last week. I think I even wrote a draft and forgot to send it. How foolish of me. I guess I'll say who it's from, not wait till the very end.
Foolish.
It's from Wes Crockett. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's what he said. His words, not mine. I would say my dream job would be to replace Christian on the Spoutcast. I couldn't think of anything more self-fulfilling than ousting him and taking over as Spout dictator. Yikes.
Wow, Christian.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Try it, Wes. Try it for 1 week.
See what how hard it is to be in my shoes. Okay, now seriously. It is and has been for a very long time to be the... Okay. Okay, to be a CIO, Chief Information Officer, or CTO, Chief Technology Officer, for an agricultural grower-shipper company.
I think I just felt
yeah,
so.
Wes, I'm not, I don't, we need to talk about this.
Hey,
I know
it's his dream.
You're right. You know what?
Don't, you just killed
Live
his dream.
Live the dream. Live the dream, Wes.
Okay, I know it sounds odd wanting to drive technology in the ag field. What many people don't realize is how cutting edge some of the technologies are that are being used today. I'm one of those people. I'm just ignorant, Wes. I'm sorry. Everything from automated soil moisture monitoring to tractors that guide themselves. It's pretty amazing stuff. Anyways, I'm boring and Christian smells. Cheers, Wes.
I'm sorry. What just happened? What? Whose email did you read?
I'm
sorry,
not sure.
I fell
know.
Asleep for a second.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, thanks for sending in those one and whys. This week, we are going to give away another t-shirt, and we are going to raffle it off. And this week's winner is none other than...
Sarah Roby?
It is Sarah Roby!
Sarah Roby!
Yay! So... Congrats, Sarah. We will send you a t-shirt. Next week's One and Why is kind of a piggyback off of something that I was just talking about, and Sarah came up with it last week as well. But if you are at all into stand-up comedy, we thought it'd be fun to chat about who our favorite stand-up comedian is.
Or comedian in general.
Or comedian in general. It doesn't have to be stand-up, comedian in general. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew approves, our producer.
Yeah. So that will be next week. We will do that. But Andrew, thanks for being here.
It's always a pleasure, guys.
Yep. Producer Andrew, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, you couldn't go home and take a nap.
Yeah.
Right? That's right.
Yeah,
because
you need a nap. All right. Up next, we got some announcements and enjoy some more music.
What if we stop having a ball? What if the paint chips from the wall? What if there's always cups in the sink? And what if I'm not what you think I am? What if I fall further than you? What if you dream?
Welcome back from that little break, listening to a little Ingrid Michaelson. We're still here with Kevin. And Kevin, I got a question for you. Are you ready for this one?
Nope.
Coming straight out of left field.
No, he's not ready. So,
oh. Okay, wait. All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Hey, Kev.
Yes.
I got a question for you.
Do it.
If you could have your dream job, what would it be and why?
Okay, so I knew this was going to be happening, and I still don't know. Someday when I grow up, I want to be...
How old are you?
30.
30, flirty, and thriving?
Whoa. No, but that sounds like a movie title.
13 Going on 30. It's in that movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that one. I would like to be a professional entertainer at some point, doing entertainment, making people happy and laughing.
What would that entail?
For free.
What's like
for
a money? What would a professional entertainer do?
It's comedy, acting, this stuff.
Yeah.
So stage.
All of the above. So like, you know, like Carrot Top.
Maybe a little stand up. I don't think I could do the prop comedy, no.
And I feel like you do a lot of that stuff right now. So if you could just do that and get paid for it.
Who's somebody in the world
yeah.
that already is an entertainer?
I'll tell you this, though. Let me tell you this, though. Like, what? there's interaction going on in here. I'll tell you this. I had I had some, I can't even focus right now.
I don't know. Christian, what's wrong? Do you want to talk about it?
No, let's keep going.
I have been in Logos training, which is like this Bible interactive software program, for the last 16 hours. Nobody cares about this.
Your brain's exploding.
And my brain is exploding. All right.
Yeah.
That's no, why do we have to start over,
No, we
Jane?
Don't need to start over. Keep going.
I hate this feeling in the room right now.
Who's someone in the world right now who has a job similar to the like to what you want?
I mean probably any comedian.
Other
Adam
than
Brad Sandler-ish.
Adam Sandler. Out of all the comedians, you choose Sandler.
Sarah, who's the guy that we listened to during Couch Time?
Brian Regan.
I like him. He's awesome, funny.
Actually, I probably would be better in like a Conan O'Brien type aspect.
See, I think you would be really good as a late night host.
Oh, I'd so watch your show.
Yeah. You would be a great late night host.
And I like to be up late.
I'd stay awake.
What's stopping you?
I mean, right there.
If you were an entertainer, you'd have to change your last name to McDonald. I just feel like
Kevin McDonald. Isn't there a guy named Kevin McDonald?
No, but Kevin Tinkin.
No, I know, but like late night with Kevin McDonald. Late night with Kevin Tinkin.
Just like thinking. That's it. I put it in there.
Well, anyways, Kevin, thanks once again for being here, and thanks for sharing your dream job. And you and I said my dream job was to be a stand-up comedian as well. So I wouldn't be I would really just do stand-up comedy. I don't know if I'd do acting at all.
It just takes so much guts, and you have to put yourself out there, and like all the self-consciousness that goes with being a goofball. I think you just have to overcome that. So I just need to get up there and get booed and get it over with, and then get some good stuff going.
Now, Sarah, there are not many announcements this week.
I have one.
I would love for you to close out the show with whatever you've got.
I have one announcement.
Okay.
On Monday, October 10th, it is the Clovis campus's not one birthday. I was going to say it's 1 year anniversary, and then I wanted to change it to its first birthday. on 10/10, it is Clovis campus's first birthday. So happy birthday, Clovis campus.
Yes.
And
so
this
sweet.
Sunday, October 9th, we're having a birthday party for the Clovis campus. Ooh. So if you come to the Clovis, be prepared to eat some yummy food, play some fun games.
Some yummy games.
Play some yummy games. And we're actually going to have a photo booth there also. So
that's
you can
so
have some fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
What a great
idea.
So
this Sunday, October 9th, come ready to have fun.
And remember, you can email us your one and why with your favorite stand-up comedian at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. That's our one and why, Kevin.
I like that.
Make sure you submit or make sure you call in. Because you can also call in at 559-321-7768. Spout. Or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/spoutcast, twitter.com/thespoutcast. Sarah, is there anything else we need to say?
This is the Spoutcast. We're out.
Oh my gosh.
Were you going to do
I was going to do it.
Do it. Go for it. Just go for it. I'll edit it. I'll edit it. Come on.
No, keep going.
Come on, Jane. Do it.
This is so emotional.
Come on, Jane.
We'll talk about this when we get home.
Come on. It's still recording. Come on. Go.
This is a Spout, and we are out.
Yeah, she did it better anyways. I did it. We're the Spoutcast, and we're out now.
Cast.
we're not gonna press record anymore.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, the bluebird. troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. This where you find me, somewhere over the rainbow, the bluebirds fly so high, birds fly over the rainbow. Why and why cannot